We also go through various transitions in life, but there's a profound transition that I want to talk about this morning. It's a profound transition because I don't, coming from a bit of a mathematical background, I'd like to put a number on it, like maybe 2%. I'd like to kind of get grips with how much I understand this. And although I'm incredibly delighted with it and overwhelmed by it and blown away by it, I still can't, even after seminary, say that I got it. And I think that's not a bad position to be in. Pat is going to come and read for us this morning in our text. So let me just ask you to turn to Matthew 28. It's called the Great Commission. For some of you who have studied it, or come on up, Pat. For study it, who have looked at it, you maybe are familiar with it, but don't let your familiarity with it make you think, oh yeah, I heard this before. I can drift off and look at my phone and text someone else in church and say, hey, what are you studying? We're studying Matthew 28. Don't do that, because this text is profound. It's profound. And the women get it first. No cheers? The women get it first. Yay!
That is not a surprise.
It's not a surprise, says Pat. So we're going to take a look at this text. And then I'm going to give you a few reflections on it, and then Pat is going to lead us as we wrestle with it, but also wrestle with prayer, and gripping the fact that the truth of this passage is for every one of us. In fact, it's for all human beings. It's for the whole world. It's for everyone that you open doors to in your lives. So Pat, Matthew 28.
So I'm going to read Matthew 28, 5 to 10, and then down to 16 to the end of the chapter. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me." Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. I know sometimes we think of this as an Easter passage. It's an every day, every moment, every second of our lives passage. Is it not? Let me just give you a couple of reflections before we look at a few points of this text. What does Jesus say first to every? What does Jesus first say to the women? Don't be afraid. Fear not. And as he connects with his disciples, as you see in the end of the Gospels, he says, "Peace be with you." Not just don't be afraid, because we know the difference, right? We know the difference between I'm not afraid, but I don't have peace. You know that fine line? I'm not afraid, but I need peace, right? He says it twice to the women. First thing, Jesus, the resurrected Lord, new creation, says to us humans, don't be afraid. Wouldn't it be nice to know? Wouldn't it be fascinating to know what was the list of fears they had? Who are you? How did this happen? What does that mean for us? Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. First it's the angels that say that to the women. Don't be afraid. And then Jesus comes and says the same things. Then Jesus said to them, verse 10, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee where they'll see me." And then just a little further down in verse 17, they're all ready for something to happen. Oh, yeah, they doubt what the women said. Jesus back alive? Come on. Who trusted these women? Why are we together again? 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. You know, it's okay to doubt. It's part of your faith to doubt. It's part of the interaction of life that you doubt to build your faith. And then Jesus says this incredible statement. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." That's us. We're in this, right? We're from all nations. Make disciples in all nations. Just imagine if he had said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of just the Jewish people." We wouldn't be here. I wouldn't know you. We wouldn't be connected. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." God loves you, Spirit, Son, Father. That's the name. Sometimes I wrestle with the concept that we're called Christians, because some people have broken the concept and said, "I follow Christ." Well, it's not just Christ that empowers you and loves you and seeks you and trains you. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. "Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end." Let me just give you a few breakthrough doors type of dynamics. According to God's will, Jesus broke the doors down. He is the new creation. A new form of humanity that is alive forever in physical form and gives the power to his disciples to have the same. So if you can picture something like a doorway, Jesus ripped the door out of its threshold. You still got to go through the threshold. But the door is no longer closed and it's no longer locked. Jesus broke that. Christ is the Lord, the Master, the champion of life. And you and I, all humanity, will see him. Knowing him, we have nothing to fear. Wow, man, I'd love to get a full grip on that. Nothing to fear. I was driving on O'Connor Drive. Actually, I was on my motorcycle heading on O'Connor Drive, and I saw a police officer. Looked down at my speedometer, 60 kilometers an hour. And a brand new thought came into my head that I should have learned a long time ago, that I've been taught a long time ago, and that is, there is comfort in keeping the law. Nothing to fear. Right? And I thought, where have you been all my life? Comfort of keeping the law, especially as I drive. Because then I have nothing to fear. You see, Jesus Christ has paid the price for you to be a new creation. And all the laws that we understand that we need to keep, there's comfort in keeping them. Love one another. Care for each other. Don't break the Ten Commandments. There's comfort in keeping them. But he's with us until the very end. And he's creating a new beginning for all who accept that he's blown away the door. In his power we go. In fact, if you have accepted Christ into your heart, you've already been through the threshold. And Jesus says we will go like sheep in and out and find pasture. You see, each one of us, and I pray this happens more often than not, each one of us go through the door in prayer and spend time with Christ. Oh yeah, we can't fully grasp that, but we go through to the other side. But we also doubt at times and we come back on this side of the threshold. But we can go in and out. We have that freedom in Christ. He invites us to be followers of him and to seek followers of him and to live out and teach his truth. That's what he encourages us to do. That is the Great Commission. We wrestle with this Great Commission because God has called us into it. Jesus paid the price so that we could go through the door without any further key. We've been wrestling this through this month of doors, opening doors, breaking through doors today, seeking to, in that space between us and another human being, to open doors. We've shared in different ways of how the doors can be open to each other, practical ways, ways that we can ask God to open those doors in our lives so that he has people opening or going through the big threshold. But what we found a couple weeks ago was that one of the most important things, the most important thing, is staying connected to the one who is the new creation. Prayer. Jesus said, don't be afraid. He has a plan for you to work through you, to have you to be the person that he wants you to be. But it's through some of these connections with God of going through the threshold to be with him that you are strengthened to then come back out into the world.